Hello and welcome to my show. Could you be more specific? I'm your host, Jonathan Steele, coming to you by the way of the Stay Woke podcast. On this episode of Could You Be More Specific, I'm going to title it Never Give Up. And what I'm going to touch on is the overall elections that took place with the midterms. And I'm going to talk about some of the races. And I'm also going to just talk about a few more things in the news field that I kind of want to touch on. But I'm going to start with the midterms. One of the reasons why I wanted to title this Never Give Up, because obviously it was a huge voter turnout for the midterms. It was estimated over 100 million voters came out. That's the biggest voter turnout for the midterms in U.S. history. And that kind of is a signal to the fact that people felt a real urgency to want to get out there and make their voices heard. Obviously, it was a big night overall for the Democratic Party as they won the House of Representatives, but the Republicans were able to maintain control of the Senate. But even with that being said, I think what it does now is that it puts pressure on not the Democratic Party to actually move towards legislation that still will affect the country in positive ways, but it puts pressure on President Trump on what's he going to do moving forward, and also for Senate Republicans, because I know for a lot of people who don't really follow politics, you know, when you have the judicial, the legislative, and the executive branch, there's a lot of things that you can get done in each one of those phases of government. But ultimately, one of the best ways you can kind of effectively move change is through the legislative process. So that's why for a lot of people, politics can kind of become, you know, really disappointing for a while because you just feel like you don't really see as much progress as you want to make. And I know I've touched on this on previous pods before, whenever I've kind of covered the politics topic, is that change is usually slow. And people got to remember that America is one of the youngest superpowers still on the planet. So it's still a lot of good things that we can still do. And it's obtainable. And with this recent election, I kind of showed you that. I know for some people, one of the biggest turnouts was the turnout in Texas with Beto O'Rourke and Ted Cruz. And I know for a lot of people who are disappointed that, you know, Beto O'Rourke lost, there's some real wins there because there was candidates, you know, and I believe Keith Allred, who was in a particular district that usually votes Republican, he won. And it was a couple other seats that was run by Democrats in the Texas districts that if Beto O'Rourke isn't on that ticket, they don't win those elections. And sometimes, you know, we'll look at the main candidate or the main person we're pulling for and we'll say that. And that happened in Georgia with the Stacey Abrams race that's still ongoing for her fight for governor. And then that also happened in Florida with Andrew Gillum, is that you had some people that would pick up seats just based off the voter turnout in certain districts that they may not have had a chance to win. So that's something that a lot of people don't kind of take into account, because we usually get, it's easier to follow something when we're following the narrative of a particular person. And one of the things I kind of wanted to touch on, especially with Andrew Gillum, is I know he had conceded earlier in that night. I know he said it again, you know, I guess he had got, I don't know if you want to say bad advice, but he got premature advice to concede. I know Broward County, which is one of the biggest counties in Florida, was still receiving ballots and was still counting the votes. So he ended up rescinding his concession. I believe Florida state law does not have a timetable on concessions anyway. But it kind of goes to show you that, you know, sometimes you can be a little bit too quick to rush. And I know that happened for Kristen Sinemia, who is the Senate representative in Nevada, where originally it wasn't looking too good for her. But as the night went on, she was down by, I think, at one point, was it 5 to 7 percentage points? And then as the night went on, she just kept gaining on her opponent. And she ended up taking a slight lead, and now it's looking like she may end up winning the Senate seat. So it's something that, you know, from a political standpoint, I think it would help people more if concessions didn't happen so early. I think what people also got to keep in mind, too, even though this is a midterm, it even happens in presidential elections, is where people concede. And then sometimes, you know, those votes are still getting counted. You know, people got to, really take into account Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. the majority of Americans voted for Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump. So for all the stuff that people say about, oh, well, you know, no one didn't think that Hillary can lead and she had issues, and she does have issues. She has things that do hurt her politically. Even with all that being said, there was a majority of Americans based off of the vote that felt like she would be a better leader than Donald Trump was. And he won by the Electoral College, which that's something that I would love to probably cover at a further date. I would love to kind of talk about that with Dee, especially because I think that'll be a great discussion, because I still don't get it that the state of California, San Bernardino, has more people than New Jersey, I believe. And yet they're the same. You got two Dakotas and Wyoming and Montana. And it just, I don't want to get off too much on a tangent, but that's just, you know, some of my thoughts on that aspect of the election. I'm also going to touch on another part of the election that I think that sometimes people kind of sometimes fail to realize too, is these prop measures. And I know there was a number of them in California. One was Prop 8. It was related to dialysis treatments. I know that was a really big prop. And, you know, some people were for that, some people were not. And I think you got to weigh the pros and cons of some of these propositions a lot of the time. And I know it's very confusing because depending on, you know, when they run those ads, it'll say paid for by certain groups. And at times you just kind of got to weigh the pros and cons, especially on your voting ballot, on is this something that, is it more of a plus to it than it's a negative? And I think dialysis, you know, treatment being handled by emergency rooms is really, really challenging. Because I think for a lot of people, whenever you're dealing with a specific element of the body, specificity kind of matters. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why that proposition ended up in the state of California not going through for the people that were lobbying for that prop. One of the more important things, I think, from the election that I enjoyed, or should I say, well, yeah, I would say I enjoyed, was seeing that in the state of Florida that 1.5 million felons now are going to be eligible to vote. And one of the things that, whether it is DeSantis or it is Gillen that becomes the governor, that's a new voting body that you now have to earn their vote. And that's something that I kind of never understood or really realized when we start talking about how do you gain new voters. Well, whether you won an election in a particular bracket or not, if you're in a position of power, then you're, one of the best things you can do is to pass policies that'll be beneficial to a lot of those groups. So if I was a governor, I wouldn't then need to pass things that would help felons be able to reintegrate into society and where they have a fighting chance to not only make a way for themselves in terms of being a productive member of society, but actually be successful in that and make it as accessible as possible for their lives to improve on that. And I think a lot of times when people are elected to the office, you know, you always see these debates, well, why don't certain people vote for this party? Well, if this party passed things to actually change things for them, then they would get behind that, you know, in a heartbeat. You know, and I know we've kind of talked, I know I've touched on this on previous pods, especially when it comes to the job market and how do you gauge that and what's a staggered economy. And that's a lot of times related to bills and certain things that were put into place that a lot of times don't take into effect until later dates. So a lot of the policies that, say, President Obama passed in his presidency was not going to benefit him initially. He passed policies that were going to end up improving the country even well into after he's out of office. So whether it was Trump or if it was Hillary Clinton, they would have benefited from that. And so when you hear about job markets and why certain people are dropping out of the job market, well, the incentive to stay in it right now isn't really there anymore. In this country, it's still imperative. Like if you're a company and you're offering health care now, still, you have a really good chance to get a really good employee. You really do. Because, you know, we're still doing employee-based healthcare. And, you know, other major countries around the world that are similar, if not in terms of stature, have much better healthcare systems in place than our country does. So until that kind of really truly starts to get solved, then that's what's always going to be kind of an anchor in a lot of ways to the economy overall, because people go into debt based off of, you know, health care. So that's just some of the things I kind of wanted to touch on a bit in that kind of a category. One of the biggest things I think that I saw with this recent election was just how incredible the turnout was for women, and getting more female representation in our country, I think, is going to be really important in terms of how I think a lot of the policies are going to change, hopefully. I think it's been, you know, the traditional attacks, attacking women's reproductive rights, and we're still having issues in regards to pay. Obviously, a lot of the rhetoric, you know, in the public discourse is not all that favorable towards women. And so I think we kind of got to get to a place where we're able to, you know, practically handle these topics in a more intelligent fashion. And in a lot of ways, I think both sides got to be a little bit, I don't want to say the word sensitive, but allow the discussion to take place and not to get too hung up all the time on particular words that kind of can trigger some things a lot of the time. Because I know depending on where you're from, some things are more relative to others than some people. So I think that'll be something that, you know, moving forward, we can kind of build on. Obviously, as great as that turnout was, the 100 million, I think the number still was that 30% of the youth still only got out. And I know some of that had to do with a lot of the ballots. I noticed the different changes on the ballots. I know one of the complaints that was mentioned was the Senate race with Rick Scott and Bill Nelson in Florida. That race was kind of buried on a ballot because there were some new ballots. And I'm not actually too surprised by that, because that stuff does happen where they'll change a ballot and they'll kind of bury it and they're not expecting you to really research it. I think there should be more I think there should be training centers, especially in advance of showing an actual ballot that, you know, goes over it specifically. And now I know that's been made more challenging because they're closing more voter booths and they're trying to definitely curb voter participation. Obviously, they don't do it by the vote by mail, because a lot of the vote by mails happens to be a lot of Republican voters who do that. And so that's something that, you know, I think going forward, we got to look at in terms of modernizing how we vote in our system. So those are just some of the thoughts that I had. I'm looking forward to seeing how post-election on how some of these things shake out, not for the obvious reasons for what a lot of people are thinking about, but just to see on how different governing is going to be over the next 2 years. So those are just some of the thoughts that I had on that. I want to thank D for all the hard work that he's been doing on the pod. I know we got so much more content that we're looking to produce for you guys moving forward. Definitely continue to support him and his show. I want you to also support us, become a patron. Looking forward to doing more of these pods. I'm so grateful that you guys have really been sticking with our podcast. We're looking to continue to grow, so definitely like, share, and follow. Spread this pod all around. Again, my name is Jonathan Steele. Thank you for listening to Could You Be More Specific. Follow the Stay Woke podcast, and I hope you guys have a good one.